Hello, and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. We now go live to the sanctuary of Calvary Chapel as Pastor Dave shares with us here on God in Our City.
With all my mind and with all my strength.
Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wow, great singing today.
Praise you, Jesus.
You were singing like you mean it. It was awesome. Welcome to Calvary Chapel on Mother's Day. Look at that. This is my 26th Mother's Day.
Wow. It must be so cool.
It's a lot of Mother's Day, isn't it? Wow.
Thank you.
At Calvary Chapel. It's not my 26th Mother's Day. Wow. So, ladies, today you will receive not one gift, not two gifts, but three gifts from us. Because we think you're amazing. One of the gifts you'll be receiving is this book, 3-Minute Devotions for Women. It's 180 devotions. So if you're kind of irregular in your devotions, it might last a whole year. But we have that available for you. We're going to give that to you at the end of our service. If you're listening by radio, we want you to be able to participate with us. So the first 5 callers today, if you call in, we will send you this book absolutely free. So just go ahead and dial 718-720-5390 together now. 718-720-5390. We trust that you are participating with us in our 50 days of prayer. Here at Calvary Chapel, we are spending the next 50 days studying prayer by looking at people who pray in the Bible. Last week, we looked at people who pray for their nation and their city. This week, we're going to look at moms who pray and the impact that moms who pray have. And so we trust that you will listen closely and you will participate with us. We have in the back on either side, in the very back, memory verses that you can get to memorize verses along with us, prayer sheets to use to develop your own prayer sheet, your own prayer list, because that's important. We have a prayer list, what we call something to teach you to do it, a little tutorial on how to develop your own prayer list. And then we have a schedule of all the things that we're doing. We're going to be taking a prayer walk in the neighborhood in June. We're going to be having the movie Prayer Room here. We got a lot of good stuff going, as well as our regular Friday night prayer time. So we want you to participate to the greatest possible extent that you can. If you do not have all these things and you walk out without them today, you can just go to nycshepherd.com. That's what? nycshepherd.com, and you can download almost all of this except the book, the 21 most effective prayers of the Bible. You can get that electronically at Amazon for 99¢. If you're here in the building, you can get it at either in the back right or as you leave for $2 in a hard copy. That actually costs us a little more than that, but we want to be a blessing to you. Hey, enough advertising. It's Mother's Day. Jay and the worship team are going to lead us in a couple more songs.
Strength arise.
We will wait upon the Lord.
You do not faint, you won't grow. You give us strength, Lord. Thank you, God. I will worship.
I will worship
with all of my heart.
With all of my heart.
I will praise you.
I will praise you
with all of my strength.
You may be seated. As you're getting seated, have a special treat today. Singing a song made famous by B.J. Thomas, but the arrangement is made famous by Sam Autry. Sam's going to come and sing a song about moms. Let's give it up for Sam as he comes share with us.
I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the house today. Happy Mother's Day. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that, and her children arise and call her blessed. So when I look at you mothers today, we want to say bless you. God bless you for who you are and what you've been doing and being a mom in our lives. All right, just want to sing a song for you. There's a couple of high notes, so bear with me. I still have a little bit of a Barry White voice left over. When no one gave me time of day, you looked deep inside while the rest of the world looked away. You smile at me when there were just frowns everywhere. You gave me love when nobody gave me a prayer. That's why I call you mother. That's why I call you friend. You touch my heart and you touch my soul and help me start all over again. And that's why I love you, mother. And that's why I'll always live. 'Cause you gave me love when nobody gave me a prayer. My mother is right back there. I just want to sing this second verse to her, if you don't mind. Pretend your mom is here. If you're a mother, this is for you too. Here we go. You gave me laughter after I've cried all my tears. You heard my dreams while the rest of the world closed its ears. I looked in your eyes and I found a tenderness there. Cause you gave me love when nobody gave me a prayer. And help me start all over again. And that's why I love you, mother. And that's why I'll always care. 'Cause you gave me love. Nobody gave me a prayer. Happy Mother's Day.
Joe Crocker got nothing on you, Sam. Will you just pray with me now? Lord, we thank you so much for the moms that are here today. Lord, we recognize for so many of us, this is a tough day. Lord, there are those who have lost their mom recently here, and that is painful. Lord, there are others who may be estranged from their mom. Lord, we thank you that you, Lord, are able to wrap us in your arms and meet our deepest needs. Lord, as we think of our nation, as we think of our world, Lord, we ask that you raise up a generations of moms who pray. Lord, as we talk today about Hannah, please, Lord, speak to each of our hearts, moms and non-moms. And may, Lord, we just be drawn closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your love, your mercy, your hope, your forgiveness, your joy, your peace, and your love, demonstrated to us by your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So I went up and saw my mom in Western Massachusetts a few weeks ago. Just wanted to see how she was doing. She's older and much frailer, still insists on living in her house, and doesn't like heating with oil heat, prefers to keep her fireplace and wood stove going. So praise God, she's able to do that. But as I was leaving, she reiterated to me something she's been saying a lot lately. She said, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for your family. It occurred to me as I was leaving that day is that she doesn't always say that, but that's something she's probably been doing all of my life. And the way my life has turned out is a result in many ways of her prayers and of God answering those prayers. Have I always been what I should be? Nope. Did I cause her some heartache along the way? Do I have a witness? But through it all, she has prayed and prayed and prayed. Probably I'm married to the wonderful woman I'm married to is because of my mom's prayers. Probably I have the kids I have because of my mom's prayers and my wife's prayers. Prayer makes a difference. And we want to talk today about moms who pray for their children. We're in this series, 50 Days of Prayer. Last week we talked about citizens who prayed for their city and their country. Now we want to talk about moms who pray for their children. This very important subject. It was D.L. Moody who actually, in encouraging women to pray, said the following. The impression that a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong. Now, as a praying mom, you may not see the answer to every prayer. Moody went on to say, perhaps when you are dead and gone, your prayer will be answered. What we're trying to do in our own church family is to change the way we think about prayer. We want to go from when all else fails, we can always pray, to before all else fails, we will always pray. Prayer isn't our last resort, it's our best resort. And that is true for moms. Today we're going to talk about Hannah from the book of Samuel. Her name means grace or favor. She is a very fascinating woman. I just want to read a little bit about her. Her husband's name was Elkanah. And in chapter 1 of Samuel, the second verse, it says, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man, that is Elkanah, used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. It says Shiloh because at this point the tabernacle was in Shiloh. The temple would be built later by Solomon's, David's son. And it says that he would go to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. She had a lot of kids. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. and her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. Wow. Dave Early, who's written the book 21 Most Effective Prayers in the Bible, when talking about Hannah, says the following. Note the lonely, desperate, painful words at the end of verse 2. Peniah had children, but Hannah had none. Hannah had no children in a world in which bearing children served as the chief source of a woman's esteem, provision, and protection. Her arms had never felt the trembling joy of holding her own baby. Her lifelong passion to be a mother went unfulfilled year after year. Do you see Hannah a little bit here? As we begin to talk about her, please note that she's going to pray, and she's going to pray like nobody's business here in just a second. But Hannah was an exception in her prayer life. What do I mean by that? Well, Hannah's culture was dysfunctional. Hannah grew up and lived in the period of the Bible known as the Judges. The book of Judges and the book of Ruth describe that period. And actually, the last judge of Israel will be Hannah's son, Samuel. Look at the tenor or the atmosphere of this world that Hannah is in. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. It was anarchy. And the people of Israel went through a period of time, really 350 years of spiritual, social, and economic ups and downs. They were not serving God. So what would happen? They wouldn't serve God. They would worship idols. And God would send their enemies against them. They would be routed by their enemies and in captivity from their enemies. And then they would say, "Help, help!" God would send a deliverer and they would be delivered. And then they'd go back to the same cycle. And then they would have God chastising them and they would yell what together now? "Help, help!" And God would come and rescue them. You may know this cycle well from your own personal life. But this is not a good time. And there weren't very many spiritual people in Israel. And the spiritual people weren't that spiritual. A couple of Levites are mentioned in chapters 19 through 21. The last one of them actually has a prostitute that he or a concubine, and she is raped to death. And he is outraged, not because she was raped to death, but because of the inhospitality of the people who did it. So he cuts her up and sends a piece of her throughout Israel to the 12 tribes. One got at least a piece. Wow. It's a bad time. To be a mom who prays for her children, a woman must choose to be different in the culture she lives in. She must be countercultural. What do you mean by that? Well, if you wanted to pray for your children an hour a day, how many interruptions will you have to try to mess up that time that you're going to pray? And you're going to have to say, "I'm sorry, I have something more important to do. Praying for my kid. Praying for my kids. Can you go to the shower? I'm sorry, I can't go to the shower. Why? Well, because that's time I pray for my kids. Can you be involved in this? Can you do this?" What's the watchword of our day? Let's be busy, right? Let's be as busy as we can. Let's be busy, 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 busy. In order to be a woman who prays for your children, a woman must choose to be different. Choose to be countercultural. And then Hannah's religion was dysfunctional. What? The faith that Hannah embraced from her youth was messed up. In 1 Samuel 1:3, it says, "Now the man," that is her husband, Elkanah, "used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord." Well, that's not so bad. Watch, though. "Now the sons of Eli were" what? "Worthless men. They did not know the Lord." The guys at the top of the spiritual food chain were corrupt. A mess. I.e., the church that Hannah went to was in disarray. The faith that was to point her and others to God was actually a deterrent in coming to God. Things had been bad and they actually got worse. God will actually remove Hophni and Phinehas from their leadership position. And the Ark of the Covenant, that thing that represented the presence of God, will be taken away. And the last words almost of chapter 2 are, Ichabod. And you go, so what? Well, Ichabod means the glory has departed. The faith of the Jewish people was shot. Yet Hannah prayed. To be a woman who prays for her children, a woman must rise above the failures or shortcomings of her church. Your church does not give you what you need all the time for your kids. It is imperfect, run by imperfect people. You must overcome that and pray for your kids. And then Hannah's family is dysfunctional. Now, just by a show of hands, how many of you know of a dysfunctional family? You know of one. How many of you have been told that you grew up in a dysfunctional family? How many of you had a psychiatrist or a doctor of medicine tell you that you grew up in a dysfunctional family? How many of you have been on Oprah or another show talking about being brought up? Okay, never mind. Hannah's family is dysfunctional. Look at the words of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2, and then verse 6. He had two, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And her rival used to what? Provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. This guy had two wives. Now, he favored one wife over the other. That was good, right? Oh, that always works. Having two wives, that works. And then having one, favoring one over the other, that works. And then the one, because she could sense that her husband didn't like her as much as the other one, taunted the other. And then in verse 10, the guy has the nerve to say to his wife, look at it. Actually, it's verse 8. Elkanah, her husband, said to Hannah, why do you weep and why do you eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? I'm all that. Baby, you got me. It's tough. This family is dysfunctional. She was provoked. Literally, she was agitated. There was grief. And then there was irritation. That's inward emotions of mind accompanied by moans and complaints. Her rival so tormented her, that she was just distraught. It says that this happened year after year when they went up to Shiloh. So every year that they went up for religious festival, you can almost picture Hannah going, I don't even want to go. This is going to be horrible. I'm going to go up there and pray for a child. And all the time up and all the time back, my rival is going to say, wait, why don't you pray? Sorry you don't have a baby like me or babies like me. Hannah didn't allow the dysfunction to destroy her and hurt her prayer life. You can't allow the mess that we have to hurt our relationship with God. To be a woman who prays for her children, a woman must choose to not allow bitterness or hurt to dominate her. What happens when you're hurt? What happens when you become bitter? Because of the dysfunction, which is our families, it messes up our prayer lives. And we cannot get the things we need in reference to our relationship with God. So, Hannah really, really, really was an individual who was the opposite of her culture. She was an exception. But Hannah was energetic in her prayer life. Hannah sought after her God. Write this down. Hannah was a God chaser. She knew who she needed to go to solve her problem. Not a doctor, not a lawyer, not another guy. Not another girl. God. It says in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, now after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. Incidentally, Hannah is not eating and drinking. She's just there. Everyone else is eating and drinking. She was deeply distressed. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. He was at the entrance. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She prayed or intervened to the Lord bitterly. She is distraught, but she's going to the one who can solve her problem. Her rival has hurt her. Her husband has hurt her. Her circumstances have hurt her, but who's she going to talk to? God. If I was Hannah, I would be mad at God. I would be upset with the Lord. I know that we don't often say this, but sometimes it is our belief that we can't express to God when we're upset with him. I'm going to let you in a little something. He already knows. If today you're mad at God, he already knows. So just say it. God, I'm struggling. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm not happy with my circumstances. But not only was Hannah one who sought God, Hannah was specific with her God. Watch what she says. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Note that Hannah did not say, God, if you could maybe work sort of in this situation in a way that might work out in the situation, if you'd please bless me if you could somehow, I will bless you back maybe. There was specificity. She was very specific. She said, give me a son, I'll give him to you. Specific prayers get specific answers. And do you know what Hannah is praying for here? There's no fertility drugs. There's no surgery that a doctor can do. What Hannah needs is this, a miracle. A miracle. So what does she pray for? A miracle. The reason why some of us will never get specific answers to prayer is we never pray specifically. The reason why some of us will never get big answers to prayer is because we never pray big enough. That comes with praying for our kids. Moms, I challenge you. Pray that your son or your daughter marries only a committed Christian person. That your son or your daughter is a committed Christian person who marries a committed Christian. Pray for your grandchildren even now that they will be committed Christians. And even beyond that, watch this. Don't pray that your kids have a good life where they get a good job, a good education, and then take care of you in the nursing home. Pray they change the world. Pray that your son or your daughter changes the world. Not just Mark's time on this earth, but changes the world. You say, Pastor Dave, you don't know where my kid is at right now. I don't. But I know that God does big things, that God does miracles, and God answers specific prayers. So pray specifically. If you want some information about, just so you have a thought here, we've included in your bulletin, or in your study guide, 31 specific requests regarding your child's character. You could pray one of those every day, right? Because how many days do most months have? 30 days, half September, April, June, and all the rest have 31. If you want more information about the Nazirite vow, you look at number 6, that she's going to have a Nazirite vow for Samuel from birth. From birth, Samuel is separated to the Lord. I know that goes away or goes against everything that we're taught in our culture today. Our culture says, let your children decide what they want to do and who they want to be. Hannah crammed it down the boy's throat. Here's what you're going to do, boy. You're going to be dedicated to the Lord. From when? From birth on. Any questions? Now, Could Samuel have rejected that later on like Samson did? Absolutely. But even Samson in his stupidity later on turns back to the Lord. Train up a child in the way they will go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. Do not be afraid. Do not be ashamed. Do not push back to say this is the way you ought to be. If your child is still under your roof, this is the way you ought to be. Do not finance insanity. Well, that went over good, yeah. It's hard, but it's true. And then Hannah was sincere before her God. She sought her God. She was specific before God. And then she was sincere before God. What do we mean by that? Well, look at verse 15. But Hannah answered. When it says Hannah answered, it's in response to Eli's question. Eli was there at the doorpost. He's watching Hannah, and she's just moving her lips. Looks like she's muttering. And to him, it looks like she's drunk. So he goes, why did you come in here drunk? This is the house of God. Only my children get to do that. It's such a contrast. He's worried about her, and his kids are a mess. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. This poor, broken woman knows where to go, and she's sincere before the Lord. She pours out her soul. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. But what does it tell us to do? Pour out our heart before him. Hannah was successful through her God. 1 Samuel 1, 17, 18 reads this way. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She believed in the word of the Lord as spoken by his prophet Eli. She believed in the word of the Lord as spoken by his prophet Eli. You see, Hannah didn't have an Old Testament Torah to consult. She didn't have memory verse cards. She had to believe the word of the Lord as this prophet said it. Now, the difference between Hannah and I, Hannah and you, is we have a book of promises from God. One of the reasons we have the prayer cards is so you have the promises of God in front of you. Why? So you can claim those promises. And without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who what? Seek him. Hannah got an amazing miracle from God. Hannah was an exception. Not only was she an exception, she was effective. She was energetic in her prayer life, and then she was effective. Hannah petitioned God through her prayers. Her petition was fulfilled in the conception of Samuel. 1 Samuel 1, 19 and 20 says, they arose early in the morning, and they worshiped the Lord. Then they went back to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. That's like Adam knew Eve. You understand what I'm saying here? And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord, what? Remembered her. Remember, she said, Lord, remember me. And what happens here? The Lord remembers her. And in due time, Hannah conceived, bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. For she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. She asked, the Hebrew word there is salah. God heard, sama. Samuel is the name of the child, Samuel. God hears. And it should be a reminder to us every day that our prayers do not go unheard by God. You may be praying for a son or daughter who's not where they ought to be with the Lord. As you pray that prayer, God hears it. As you pour out your complaint before the Lord, God hears it. Maybe you're a grandma today, and you're still praying for your son and daughter and their children. That does not go unheard. God hears those prayers. He is in the business of hearing prayers.
Well, why hasn't he answered it the way I wanted him to? Why he needs to do it now?
God has an amazing timetable. He's never late, and he's never early. And he has a place that he meets people very often. It's called the end of their rope. And he may be meeting your son, your daughter, at the end of their rope. So you should not ever stop praying for them. She petitioned the Lord. She petitioned the Lord sincerely. She poured it out. She petitioned the Lord exclusively. There was one God she was going to pray to. The rest of the nation was messing with all kinds of other gods. She had one God she was messing with. And she petitioned the Lord dependently. Her trust was there. She believed that God answered prayer. And the Lord granted her petition. Do you believe today that God answers prayer? Amen. Moms, your prayers are not going unanswered. God answers those prayers. The Bible even says it this way, that our prayers are like incense before him. And when you see the throne of God in the book of Revelation, there is this bucket, as it were, of incense. What is that? It is the prayers of the saints. I got to get through this. Her petition was fulfilled in the consecration of Samuel. She consecrated this child, just like she said. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Who worshiped the Lord there? Baby Samuel. Little Samuel worshiped the Lord. But what did she do? She fulfilled her end. Has anyone here ever promised God anything? And then gone back on that promise? Well, whew. I sent my son to the Penn Relays about a week ago. And he needed money. I said, how much do you need for the couple days and whatever? He said, about $100. So I reached deep. I gave him $100. I said, how much money are you taking? He said, $150. I said, well, you'll bring back to me what you don't spend, right? Then something amazing occurred to me. This is what he's going to say to me. He's going to say, I spent your money. I didn't spend my money. Isn't that the way we are with God? We say, God, provide. Give me, God, take care of me. And God provides. And we think, oh, this must be for this here, not for this. This must be for me, not for another need, because it came to me. Send more, God, I'll give it to you. Hannah wasn't that way. She said, God, I promised you this. I give you this. God had answered her prayer. So she lent to the Lord for the lifetime. This is similar to the word ask in verse 20. It means to return that which was obtained by petition. She returned to God that which she obtained by petition. And then Hannah praised God with her prayers. She worshiped him in praise. And it says, Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. She praises God for who he is. And then she praises God later on for what he's done. Verse 2 says, chapter 2, verse 2 says, there's none holy. This is in her prayer. Like the Lord, for there's none beside you, for there's no rock like our God. She praised God for who he is. And then she praised God for what he had done. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts his needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. She praises God for what he's done, but most importantly for who he is. And then Hannah was prospered by God beyond her prayers. She had a great child. Samuel was an amazing child. 1 Samuel 2, 18 and 19 records it this way. Samuel was ministering before the Lord. This is when he's 3, 4, 5 years old. A boy clothed with a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. How often did she see her son? Once a year, it seems. But he was ministering. He was serving God from a young age. Do you want your son or daughter to turn around for God? I mean, do you really want them to turn around for God? Hear me. What if turning around for God meant that they devoted their life to serving as a missionary in a Muslim country? Well, Pastor, I wanted to turn around, but not that much. Do you see the hypocrisy of that? The hypocrisy. We want to dictate the terms. God, I want my kid to surrender all. Okay, most. All right, some. But I want the grandbabies around. She had a great child, but she gave him up to God. She saw him once a year on furlough. And she had a great number of children, though. What does the Bible say? Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you children by this woman for the petition she asked of the Lord." Samuel was such a huge blessing that Eli said, may God bless you and bless you and bless you. Read on. So then they would return to their home. Indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore, how many? 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. She had additional children. The Lord is no man or no woman's debtor. Hannah, is under very difficult circumstances. She had every excuse not to be a woman of prayer. Her culture, her family, her religion all pushed her in a different direction. She could have adopted another god, a fertility god. She's in a tough marriage with a guy who evidently thinks he's all that, with no kids in a world gone wild. Through prayer, she has a son, Samuel, who changes their world. Listen to the words of 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. And Samuel said to the house of all Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherah," that's a pole that they used to worship, "from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." Note the next words. So the people of Israel put away the Baal and the Asherah, and they served the Lord. Hannah prayed. What was the product of Hannah's prayer? This dedicated, wholehearted servant, Samuel. What was the result of the dedicated, wholehearted servant? Israel changed. How proud do you think Hannah was? Amazingly proud. But she took what God gave her in an answer of prayer, and she gave it away. Moms, that might be the hardest thing for us to ask you to do, but it is the thing that we all must do. Moms, grandmoms, stepmoms, spiritual moms, surrogate moms, the need of the hour is moms who pray like Hannah. Will you be that mom? They say that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. But the hand, or the knees, the knees that are bent with the hand that rocks that cradle change the world. Will you pray for your son or daughter to change the world? Will you pray specifically for them? Will you pray in a persevering way and never give up? If you will, you will be a person who prays, a mom who prays for her children. I've asked Amy and Margie to come and sing a song that's very simple, but I ask that you make it today your prayer. It's a song that's very, 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 very powerful. It speaks of what God wants to do when we get on our knees.
of me is ready to begin. Then there's days when I feel I'm letting go and soaring on the wind. I've learned in laughter or pain how to survive. I get on my knees. I get on my knees. There I am before the love that changed.
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com. To receive a free copy of today's message, please call 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tune in next week at the same time for another edition of God in Our City.